the batin, the inner soul, a very dangerous sin of the soul, of the inner self, an internal sin. Sin is a sin, for sure. Whatever type of sin it may be, whatever form it may take, it is dangerous. It is dangerous. A sin is dangerous. Why? Because every sin, it leads to what? The consequence of sin is most dangerous indeed. Every sin, the consequence of every sin is Jahannam, hell. There's no less consequence of sinning. If a person in the world attains tawbah, repentance, forgiveness, then he will be saved. Otherwise, every sin leads to the dangerous result. May Allah Ta'ala save us from all sins. Ameen. Ameen. So sin, all sins, they mostly are related to the internal self of a person, the inner state of a person. And sin, the internal sin, the inner self, the fountain of the sin where they emanate, that is our heart, the qalb. That's where the sins emanate from, the spiritual heart. There are two types of heart, the physical heart that we know, which is the organ of flesh that pumps the blood and it's operated on, and the organ of the heart, and it gets blocked and there are valves, etc. But there's a spiritual heart. So the physical heart, the flesh, the organ, that heart, the real genuine part of the heart, or the form of the heart, is the spiritual heart. So always two parts to a human being's body. One is dhahir, external physical, one is the batin, internal. So that's the reality of the heart. The name is the qalb, but it's the real qalb, the inner qalb, the spiritual qalb. So the fountain of sins, the foundation of sins, you could say, the platform is the qalb, the heart. As soon as a person's heart is spoilt and dirty, the more sins are created in the heart. The example I'll give to you, and different types of effects of sin on a person. For example, there's dirty water in a stream. Like a, you know, where, for example, not a stream, but like a little puddle or a ditch with dirty water inside it. And then the mosquitoes come there, don't they? The mosquitoes. Now, the more dirty that pool of water, that puddle of water, the ditch of water, the more mosquitoes will come from there. And you'll see that the mosquito that bites, not every mosquito gives malaria. Not every mosquito gives dengue fever. Different types. Because the more dirty and impure the water is, then the more germs and bacteria that mosquito will carry. Same way is the qalb, the heart of the human being. The more the heart of the human being is dirty, then the more dirty thoughts will come in his mind, and the more dirty actions and impurities he will carry out. You know, he said, I did this sin, I've done that sin, I've got depression, and jinns have come in my life, and magic, and someone's done a spell on me. Nothing is this at all. This is nothing. All of this is due to the sins of the batin of a person. It's the effects of the internal sins. That's it. It's all this, the negative effects of the internal sins. The question doesn't arise that a Muslim, a person's heart is the batin is full of falsehood. The qalb is such a beautiful thing, such a beautiful thing, that its anwarat, its brilliance, its illumination goes to the arsh, the throne. You're laying on the mattress, but alhamdulillah, the angels say salam to that heart, which is good and pure. That's a great heart Allah has given to the human being, if we keep it in the right state. So in the same way, the batini sins, the internal sins, the inner state sins, the different sins that become apparent, they're dirty, impure. There's one sin that's coming to my mind, very dangerous sin indeed. May Allah Ta'ala save us from that sin, which is an internal sin, a batini sin. And the link of that sin, it's related to our eyes, our eyesight. The same point I said to you, there are different types of sight, different types of sin. Different types of sight. We'll say, oh, he's got an affectionate sight, a merciful sight. He's got a generous sight. These are all linked to your sight, isn't it? Merciful, generous, affectionate. If a person's affectionate, this sight. If you've got affectionate sight, when you look at somebody with affection, then that person's heart will feel nice and cool and calm. So when your heart is nice and you look at nice and you look at people in a nice way, then you look at a person affectionately. If your heart is nice and clean and merciful, then when you look at other people, you will look at them with a merciful glance, isn't it? and you have a good effect. So your heart is attached to your sight. Yeah? And if you've got a generous heart, a generous vision and look, then if your heart is clean and pure, then you'll look at people generously and nicely. In the same way, when the heart becomes dirty, impure, then your sight and the way you look at people changes. Then it changes from good to black and bad, and there will be a bad sight. You see that he's got a bad sight, evil eye, or nazar lagi, or he put a spell onto that person, or a bad effect on that person. And then one is the sight of danger or fearful sight. This is a sin that I'm telling you, very dangerous sin this is, that we need to be safe from. For example, this is the definition, I'll give you more detail, is when you look at somebody, when you look down at somebody, criticizing, rejecting somebody, don't think he is good, looking down and think he's of a lesser status. This is means I don't know how to explain it properly in detail, but this is a state to consider yourself more grand and better, and looking at people, looking at them as if they're below you, beneath you, looking down at people. And this is a dangerous sin, and this sin attracts another sin, pulls on another sin. With regards to, there's a hadith with regards to this, and the Quran explained this as well. This has become such a sin. When you look at people in a bad way, looking down at them, if you don't pay attention to this, then that sin becomes kibr, pride. And the pious predecessors say that looking down at people and pride, they are brothers and sisters. They are brothers and sisters. They are in parallel. They're related. If you don't pay attention to being proud, if you've got a little sickness or a temperature, if you don't pay attention, it will become typhoid. You didn't stop it. If you don't pay attention to the flu, what will it become? It will become corona. Corona, isn't it? A new form of the flu. If you don't prevent an illness in its initial stages, then it will continue. Same way, looking down at people, it continues, develops, grows, it becomes kibr. And such dangerous effects of kibr, the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated, that the person in whose heart, if there's an atom's weight of kibr, he cannot go into paradise. How much? An atom's weight, a particle's weight, a sesame seed's weight of kibr in the heart, a person cannot go into paradise. The Rasulullah said, and where does this come from? When you have the disease of looking down at people, when you're thinking you're better than people, grand and pomp, and you think that you're more important. Yes? Looking at, belittling somebody, belittling that person, degrading that person, looking down. What's the reason for degrading people? Looking down at them, thinking you're better than them, higher status than them. Why do you consider others lower than you, of less status than you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? We're just discussing the sins here, talking to each other. Because we're sat here for this reason, we're assembled, alhamdulillah, for this purpose. We can all get together, talk to each other, so we can do our islah, improvement. We're not criticizing anyone, not looking down at anyone. We're all worried about ourselves. We're gathered together, alhamdulillah, and you have put me forward. So I've got to speak, isn't it, to you about islah, improvement, rectification. So when you come, so I can rectify myself and you can also be rectified. That's our purpose. So in my mind, what I understand is this point that's come to my mind with regards to this, I should speak that today, this is very common illness, common disease, common sin. If we don't control it, then all our ibadat will be destroyed. Our deeds will be destroyed. Our worship will be destroyed. Okay, so we continue. So what is the root cause of belittling others, degrading others, looking down at others? The root cause is this. The reason is this, that Allah Ta'ala sent us to this world, to planet Earth. So let me explain to you the details behind this sin. Allah has sent us to this world as a test. Allah knows that this is a testing ground. The world is a testing ground. The examination will come. Yes? So Allah is the Hakim, the ruler. Who can reach and arrive to Allah's hikmah and wisdom? One wisdom from the wisdoms of Allah is this, that in another style, in another way, in another manner, Allah tests us in order to give us paradise. What's the test? What's that challenge that Allah Ta'ala has laid down for us? Allah has given us that test that amongst the human beings that Allah Ta'ala has created, different categories of human being you will see in the world. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Different categories, different types, different. Here he sat in front of me, a child is here, an elder person is there, different types of people here, different backgrounds, Subhanallah. But every man, his category is different, his status is different, his background is different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every human being has put a special quality, unique quality. How? For example, I want to become a doctor. I can't become a doctor because I became a geologist. And my father wanted me maybe to become an alim. I couldn't become an alim was I didn't have that capacity, those qualities. My father wanted me to become a Hafiz. I didn't have that quality, that capacity, that capability. In every person there's a capability. Otherwise everyone today would be the same. Whoever presents himself as a person making money, everyone would be making money, rolling in the money. If somebody wants to fly a plane, he can. But a certain child will fly the plane, you'll be amazed that he had this taste. He had this desire, this career path. Reason being that Allah Ta'ala in every person, He's put a different capacity, different capabilities, different skills, health, whether it's health or appearance, or looking inside that person. Everyone's tariqah and methodology is different. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Yeah, do you understand what I'm saying? Now you understand what I'm saying. So you say that this person's child is a hafiz, but my child isn't a hafiz, and you're slapping him every day, you're stopping his food, he's not becoming a hafiz. This is not the case. Here, a point we need to understand to save yourself from this illness, Allah's distribution, we should be happy about that. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Yes, this is a message Allah has given, that I have created you, and if he's got the quality of becoming a doctor, I've given him. If I've given him the quality of becoming an engineer, I've given him. If I've given him the capacity to become a fakir, if he's got the ability to become a hafiz, do hifz, I've given him. Him I made higher, him lower, him I gave responsibility, him I gave this, him I gave that. Nobody is in control. If you want to become a tennis player, but you'll become a hockey player. Yes, you'll have other qualities. This is not the case. Yes, so every man possesses different skills and qualities. The reason for this is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us through the test of life. Yes, that mashallah, the insan, the human being is the superior form of creation. Allah says that this point here, now we should not complain here. Why have I been made like this? Why was he made like this? Why was he doing this? And he was made like that. And Allah ta'ala has given him this and he's made him higher and hasn't made me like this. This is the big attack of shaitan. Slowly, slowly, that person loses hope and he starts to challenge Allah. This is Allah's distribution. He's upset about that. He's challenging Allah. Allah says that you should have done what I will. Why do you do what you want to do? Allah says. So don't challenge Allah or criticize. The person of wisdom and understanding is he who learns that this is my quality, my capability. I shouldn't run into this. I don't need to delve into this. And he should stay steadfast on what he's been given. And be happy with that. So where does the action of belittling others come from? Thinking you're higher. Allah's given somebody different qualities. Someone's made rich. Somebody's made wealthy. Somebody's made poor. Somebody's darker. Somebody's lighter. Somebody's healthy. Somebody's ill. Somebody's eye is cross-eyed. Somebody's got this illness. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the master of the universe, who's done this. Nobody else can do this. All from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The distribution, the capabilities and the skills. So when this was spread out and distributed, shaitan, our enemy, he took benefit of this distribution from us. What happened then is that when you see a person's wealthy and one person's poor, in his heart, the jealousy came about. The jealousy. Yes, envy. The person who's poor, why can't I become rich? Is this justice from Allah? To this point, people complain. To this extent, they pray salah, they read the Quran, they do dhikr, they come to the majlis. But this waswasa comes to their mind. Look, he's wealthy and he's become a sheikh. Why am I not a sheikh? They come to this extent that he's become this. Why didn't I become a Nabi? Says the human being. I tell you the reality, the truth. Such a big sickness of the person who's got the pride. Why wasn't I made like this? Allah made him the prophet. Why didn't Allah make him the prophet? Allah made him a wali. Why wasn't I a wali of Allah? Look how far the person goes. To the border of kufr. Shaitan takes a person there. That he says, oh, I don't listen to you. There's no Rabb. I have no Rabb, he says. Astaghfirullah. So when he sees this, that he sees a person inside, he feels, oh, he's got this quality, I don't have this quality. So within that person, what will be created? We see the group that is a bit lower in the skills, they'll think, why wasn't I made like this? And another illness will come to him, which is not my subject at this moment in time. My subject at this moment in time is that person who Allah Ta'ala has given him a skill or a rank or a status higher than others, and he's made afdal, greater, better maybe than others. He's got something that in the eyes of the people of the world, he's greater or higher. And he's got those qualities or skills that many other people, the common man, doesn't have. Okay? And people have not got this. So Allah Ta'ala has given that skill, given him that quality. And he's got guts, he's got capacity, he's got capabilities according to the world or the deen. Both things we see the skills within. Worldly skills and qualities and characteristics and capability, or deeni capability and skills. So then he may have an illness in his heart and it's very dangerous. And what is that disease? Where he looks down at others. He says, I'm this, I've got this, and he hasn't got this. I'm better. Do you understand what I'm saying? that I'm this person, and the other people or the other people around me, they don't have this, so I'm better. So this feeling, when it comes into that person, that Allah Ta'ala has given him a quality, and with that quality is apparently higher than others in the world, and other people are lower than him in that skill and capability. So how does he express that feeling? His walking will be different, his movement will be different, his style will be different, his body language will be different. From every action he will say, I am this and you are this. I am better, I know, and you don't know this, you don't know as much as me. I know about this, I have this knowledge, you don't have this knowledge. And this action, this is the biggest sin, and this is called pride and belittling others and degrading others. Consider this line, he crosses the line, it becomes kibr. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So whatever Allah has given us, any rank, status, quality, Allah has given everybody different qualities, skills, capabilities, capacity. With these qualities and skills, when we see other people who don't possess these, and if I treat him, belittle him, he hasn't got this and I've got this. I'm doing this action, he's not capable. He is lower than me. Allahu Akbar. I'm sat on this seat, on this status. These people are below me. I know better. I know more. They don't know more as much as me. Look at this. This is belittling others, degrading others. So I speak to you about a fakir. What is the rank, the status of a fakir, a wali of Allah? My sheikh, teacher, Nurullah Marqada. What a great insan, great human being with regards to ilm, knowledge. He was a great alim scholar, high grade alim. You know this. Yes, his ustads, his teachers, Saharanpur, here, there, where he revised and learnt hadith. Great scholar. But you see that whenever anyone came and asked a question to Hazrat Sahab, and he was sat down and somebody would come and put a query, and ulema, the scholars were sat around him, Hazrat Sahab would say, I am ignorant, I don't know, I have no knowledge. Here the alims ask them. Subhanallah. It's easy to say this. Yes, a great sheikh, a peer, if he said, then he's got all of these skills and knowledge, and he has a stomach ache if he doesn't give the answer. So let me tell him the answer. I've got a good opportunity. Let me show and demonstrate my knowledge and my skills. The whole gathering, when this would happen, the great scholars were sat around Hazrat Sahib, and to lower himself, Hazrat Sahib would say, I don't have the knowledge. The alim Hazrat, the respected scholars, Hazrat Sahib, ask them, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. Look at that simplicity, humbleness, humility. If someone's given me ilm, Allah's given me ilm, knowledge, worldly knowledge, and I think others are lower than me, I've got more knowledge, I'm more experienced and capable, and then I get into a clash, then I start to treat people differently. We have to be very careful with this. Every person here will have greater skills than others, and if they don't have that, you'll try to show that, make a fuss in the office, you've got skills and you've got technical skills, and a new employee comes, he's a trainee, apprentice, wallahi, you will treat that person different. People treat the apprentice differently, they belittle him. Oh, throw him around. Oh, I've been sat here for years. I've got technical skills. He's just come there, the apprentice. Then the skilled craftsman will treat him differently. Oh, it's fine. Go there, go there. And belittling others takes you to the extreme. You know, he's walking. I've seen this with my eyes, these games. He's walking and somebody wants to speak. The trainee, he doesn't even pay attention to him. He doesn't even look at him. Oh, it's okay. Go. Just get away from it. Have you seen this in people? How they degrade others? In religious places, in worldly places, you'll see this action taking place. So can a person like this who does this go to paradise still? Can he? Is this the way we can please Allah? We cannot imagine when we say that we want Allah's radha. Can we attain Allah's radha when we belittle others, degrade others, look at others in a way that we are better than them? So this sin of the batin, the inner internal sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately takes action against the person with pride. Immediately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to these sins immediately takes action. Immediately, when a person's looking down at another person with regards to that, immediately Allah gives the punishment. That's how severe Allah's ghadab comes down on that point, because Allah dislikes the person who looks down at others when he thinks he's better in a certain way or action or skill. And an event of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam I'd like to share with you with regards to this point, this subject. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was walking with him. Alayhi salam was his companion, a sahabi, a colleague, a deputy. And now what a great point, great example. A nabi, and with him his assistant, his sahabi, okay? So what a great point here that, for example, today his sheikh and his special attendant, special disciple, devotee, khadim, murid, students going with him. So what's happening? We see here that the khadim inside him, if he feels that, ma, I am the khadim, I'm the attendant of my sheikh, I'm close to him, I'm higher than others, and he speaks to others like that you aren't what I am, say Subhanallah. He thinks he's better than others. That's it. This is feeling that you are better than others, looking down others. Very delicate point we need to learn. And this is happening with the attendant of the Nabi, the servant, the disciple, the devotee, the sahabi of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And he's with the Nabi, with Hazrat Isa. When they're walking past a gathering, and as they're walking past, inside him, there was a gathering of people, and a person from the majma, the gathering, there was a person who, he was sort of a criminal, a bit of a sinner, a thief. So he turned around, the attendant, the devotee, the special attendant of Hazrat Islam, he looked back and saw him, and suddenly in his heart, shaitan, he pierced his heart with the sin. What did he make him think? That in his heart, suddenly he felt this feeling that, oh, look at him, that sinner. Huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that look how much benefit there is for the pious people. People respect the pious people. Look at him. Who's going to ask him? Who's going to look at him? This sinner, this thief. And he looked down at him. Is anyone looking at him? Does anyone care for him? And look at me. I'm going with the Prophet. People are respecting me. They are welcoming me. Because I'm the attendant of Isa alayhi salam. No one's looking at him. Suddenly Jibreel alayhi salam came. Allahu Akbar. To him, he said, stop here right now. Decision has to be made now. He stated, Jibreel alayhi salam, that, O Isa, your attendant, your sahabi, your companion who's with you, this person who's the thief, tell him that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven all of your sins, that man who's in that gathering of the people, and in Jannah is your station, it's ready waiting for you. And that companion, your sahabi, tell him that all of the pious good deeds you did, Allah's wiped them away. And you've become this, same as him, and he's become what you were. SubhanAllah, this is the justice. When Allah sees people belittling, degrading others, Allah does not like this. May Allah save us from this sin. I've explained this. We've spoken about it. Now if I say to you, stop this sin, don't do this sin, is that the solution? You'll say, how do I do that? How can we stop this? How can we take this out of our heart? It will happen. The discussion does not there. The Sufi goes to the next level. He says, the how do we stop doing this sin? What's the solution? Say, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. That's when we get to the crux of the matter. We say, here's an illness, here's a disease. If we say, close the door, I'm ill, close the door and go away, will he be solved? The illness be solved? So the question mark will arise, what's the solution? What's the medicine? So now we've identified the sin. Maybe I'm sick, maybe you're sick, and this marad, this deficiency is within us. So the objective is that we have never paid attention to this sin. This virus is absorbed, ingrained within us. And if you have not tried to take it out today, and me and you, have we thought today before about thinking about pride and belittling others, degrading others? There's this sickness within me. Is this sin ingrained within me? Where I think I'm better and proud and I've got, I'm grand and better. Allah has given people titles, religious titles, worldly titles, religious achievements, worldly achievements. So have I thought about this? That have I got this disease and sickness and sin within me? That shaitan, has he ingrained this within me? But shaitan makes us so ghafil, so lazy. No, 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 I'm pious. I'll do talawat the Quran in the morning. All my sins will be removed. When I do dhikr in the morning, I've achieved beyond the mountains. But you don't know that shaitan is making you proud. And he's wiping away your good deeds. And your hal is very bad in the book of Allah. You don't know. You're not aware. Here the pious predecessors have advised. Every second the human is worried about the hereafter. Every second he should be balancing the books. Balancing books. Tazkiyah sheet should be in front of you every second. Say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Yes, this is not some minor thing. This dunya is the testing ground. This is not our permanent abode living here. That's why we've come here. Every second moment is valuable, extremely valuable. I have to see, am I doing the right deed or the left deed? Remember this. 1 second it comes. For example, I told you the event when all of your deeds will be destroyed and you won't even realize. Just like the event I shared with Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Yes, that Allah Ta'ala said that beware in front of my Habib. Don't speak loudly. I'll wipe away your deeds. Allah said to the Sahaba. You won't even realize. Who were they? The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. Umar, Siddiq. Such great companions. Allah Ta'ala said to him, be careful. Be careful. Don't speak with Bi'adabi. Don't speak loudly. Then his voice. This is such a bad action. I'll wipe your deeds. Oh Siddiq, Umar, Farooq, all your deeds will be wiped away and you won't even know, because I won't even let you get to the doors of Tawbah. This is Allah's greatness. He's the Qadir and Mutlaq. He's in control. So Allah said to the man, Jibreel said, go, all your deeds wiped away. Your companion Isa alayhi salam, he is the sinful person and the thief, he's in paradise. Can anyone stop Allah and his decision making? Tell me, but have we ever worried about this in our lives? Have we ever thought that, am I proud and do I look down at people and degrade people and think I'm better than people? Such dangerous sicknesses that are developing within us, growing within us. I should do muhasaba, analysis, second by second. If I've got a chance to, I'm doing taqreer, bayan. I should analyze myself now. I'm speaking, giving discourse, etc. Abu Qabirin, Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat, Rahmatullah alayhi. He was going somewhere with him, was Mufti Shafi Saab, his Khalifa. He said, as I was going, I took ijaza. Can I go with you, Hazrat? Can I walk with you? He was a special marid of Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat. He said, yes, you can come with me today. I don't take people with normally. He didn't take people with normally. And as he was walking, he saw that from his pocket, he took out a piece of paper, took the piece of paper, he wrote something down, then he closed and put it back. So he said that, I looked at the habit of my sheikh, what's going on here? Then I saw, observed, he took a piece of paper. When we got there, he said, Hazrat, what was this that you were doing? You were writing something on the piece of paper. Subhanallah. Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat said that I was analyzing myself, observing myself, and I was writing something that this has happened, that this happened at that time, this happened, that time, this happened. I was this at that time, I was this. That he didn't become Hakim ul-Ummat for nothing. Until a person doesn't work hard on his batin, he said, have I done this wrong here? Have I done this right here? Have I done this right here? Have I done this wrong here? Such maqams have to come. Maut, death, the station of death. Is this a minor event? At the time of death, the reality of a person will unravel. The batini sins will come out. This is such a reminder Allah Ta'ala has given us. Such a great reminder that fine, you're in this world, you sin. But if you do one action, Sa'im Mashkura, if you keep on trying, working hard, balancing the books, even if you fail, Allah says, then I'll make you successful because you kept on trying, kept on analyzing. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. How Allah has encouraged us. Keep working hard. Your job is to work hard, Allah says. Your job is to keep trying. What a great point. Zahir, obviously I had this sohbat, great company, Hazrat Arifin, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy, Rahmatullah Alayhi Arif Billah, Rahmatullah. And he was my, you could say, secondary guide, Sheikh. When Mulana Mufti Taqi Sahib and Mulana Rafi Sahib, I've heard that they learned from him. What beautiful words and statements. And what a beautiful statement he said. Look, he wasn't an alim, graduated scholar, but beautiful statements. He said that today all people complain. Look at his style of the way he was explaining. The friends of Allah, the walis of Allah, they don't tell you technical grammar. They speak in such a style that somehow this message must absorb into the heart of the human being so they understand and practice it. Yeah? So they don't push themselves and show big masail and verses of the Quran, long grammatical justification, khutbas. No, few beautiful statements. The friends of Allah easily, simply explain, because in their gatherings, there are different types of human beings. Not everyone's learned. So such a person sat there who hasn't got dialogue or grammar, he's illiterate, not educated. We have to look at that person. Don't look at the big shot people who are educated. Say Subhanallah. Maqsad, the objective is that we start from that person. Put the bayan on the standard of the simple person. If he understands, then everyone else will understand. So present the words to such a person so that everyone understands. This is how the walis wala had the gathering. He said that, look, today, nowadays, what a great alims are sat at. Mufti Taqi Sahib, Mufti Rafi Sahib, Ulama Ikram, respected scholars sat in his gathering. And people, the jahiz like us, how he explained to us. He said, Hazrat Arif Billah, rahmatullahi, he said that today people in the world, they worry about this point so much. The environment from here, somebody goes to London or America, okay, let's go to the city. The biggest complaint that we have today is that what shall we do? We're forced to go, we've gone to such a hard environment, different hemisphere. How can we save ourselves? How can we save our eyes? It's hard to look, not to look at the wrong things, bad environment, but our rizq's written there, our wealth written there. What a beautiful point. Is this not the case? We complain today, we make excuses that we're living in a bad environment, I can't control myself, how can I help myself? We got music around ourselves, how can we put the fingers in our ears? We can't stop listening to this, how can I stop myself, especially here, those people who come here to the Western Hemisphere, Western nations, for them there's a big excuse, this statement. How can I stop this and help myself or save myself and stop the sins? Indirectly, we're trying to justify our sins. We're complaining to Allah, it's not in my control, Allah. What can I do? I can't help it. He stated, what ajeeb, weird people, Hazrat Arif Billah, the Shaykh is explaining. Say Subhanallah. He's explaining the gathering of the wali wala. He's explaining what weird people who say these are Mufti Sahib. He said, what weird people who are saying these statements? They can't help it. They've gone to such a bad environment. What kind of state? That Allah Ta'ala in front of Allah, they'll be presented to Allah. And when they go to Allah, they'll say this. That Allah, we couldn't help ourselves. You sent us to a bad place. And we were forced to do this. Girls were walking the street. We have to go to work. And our eyes were straying. Looking at this and that woman. And this happens and that happens today. This is common, isn't it? Amongst us. Isn't it? So then, when we're presented to Allah, then Allah will ask them a question, Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. Allah will ask them a question, He's giving the answer Himself. He's doing tarbiyat. So Allah will ask those people who make the excuses. If Allah asks them, okay, fine, you went to the environment and all this happened. But you tell me, Allah will ask a question. Tell me upon Allah will ask them in reply to that man. Or to me or to you. Allah will say, okay, tell me something. And in front of Allah will be stood there. And I know, you know, we're aware of all this. That how Allah is explaining, the Wali Allah is saying that Allah will ask, Allah will say that, tell me, when all this was happening with you, then did you ever remember and say, Allah, please save me. What shall I do with the gospel? What shall I do with the gospel? Do you ever remember me? Allah will say. Did you ask me to save you? Say Subhanallah. Did you ask Allah for protection or a solution? At least you could say, Allah, I'm in a bad state. I'm stuck. I'm trapped. Allah, please tell me, what shall I do now in this state? If you had presented this complaint to me and presented this problem to me, Allah, I'm fed up. I'm fed up. What shall I do? Where shall I go? Allah, save me. Save me. You can do this. If at least this you had said to your Mawla, your Rabb, then would your Rabb, did you not believe in Allah that He is the master controller? Yes, this was my test. As I said to you, this is the testing ground, the dunya. All these daily events are tests, and we have to pass the test. And to pass this, Allah has given all the solutions have been opened up for us. What's the solution? That any condition that comes in your life, Alhamdulillah, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, remember me in abundance, turn to your Lord, all solutions will come, success will come. Dhikrullah is a great, fantastic action. Dhikr means to turn to Allah. Asking Allah for help. The meaning of dhikr means, Allah, I'm helpless, I'm sinning, save me, save me. Dhikr means this. Dhikr means this. Dhikr means this. The Allah between you, Allah, there's a barrier. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Such a short cut way to meet Allah. Allah, I've come. Allah, I'm remembering you. Allah says, I'm remembering you. Subhanallah. Yes. Just like, for example, that if you ask, quickly tell me the way to get somewhere quickly. The shortcut route, straightforward route. Sit in the plane, you'll get there 3 hours to Jeddah. Ooh, very good. Let me get there quickly. Isn't it? Direct flight. So Allah has given us a direct flight. Do this action immediately. You will get my attention immediately. Fadhkuruni, no barrier in between. Fadhkuruni, remember me, Allah says, Adhkurkum, I'll come to you. Remembering Allah isn't just this. We're saying Allah, Allah. Remembering Allah means this. That all your requests you present to Allah, I'm forced, I'm going towards kufr, I'm going towards shirk, I'm sinning, I can't save my eyes, I'm looking at the wrong things, the doors of haram are open in front of me, Allah save me, how will I be saved? Allah save me, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Here a beautiful point arises, Shai Mashkura, Allah says that you've presented your need to me. Who's saying this? Say it loudly, who's saying this? Who? Dr. Abdul Hayy Rahmatullahi Arif Billah to his murids. And who is sat there from his murids, his students? Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib. Today you hear his bayanat. This is where he learned from his sheikh. With pride, he says, Mulana Taqi Sahib, Mufti Taqi Sahib says with pride, today what I'm speaking is only for this reason, that my tarbiyah, my rectification was taken place by who? Hazrat Arif Billah, Dr. Abdul Hayy. He said, I learned from him and otherwise I couldn't even speak today. Openly he says this. In great gatherings he says this. He says, not even a hadith could I recite in front of you. I recited, but I couldn't recite it because I got the power and the energy and permission from my sheikh who did my tarbiyah. Subhanallah. So he said, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy, the sheikh now, he's saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us freedom in the world. When you say to Allah, Allah, I need your help. And even then you commit the sins. Then your file has arrived to Allah. Your book of requests has arrived to Allah. Allah will say to you that you've now made the request to me. Then Allah will speak to you differently. Okay, fine. Your request has come to me. You tried. But just your trying, I like. Take him into paradise. Subhanallah. He tried. He made effort. He turned to me. So what's the conclusion of our discussion? Is that we are weak. We are stuck in this dunya. We are looking down at people. If somebody is an alim or a hafiz or a qari or a person like me or you or us who is a jahil, everyone's on a different situation. Every man should think that we should not allow this disease to come into our heart, that we look down at others, belittle others. What should we do? Don't sit idle, bone idle. Rather do what? Try. But we don't do that. For any sin we don't try to remove. Wallahi, we don't try to remove that sin. Tell me, I do mashara with you. Let's consult together. How many people are sitting? Has anyone today tried to remove a sin from his life? We try, emphasize on salah, tilawah, reciting Quran. What do we emphasize on? All of this will stay behind. Nafl, they'll be discarded, shunned. One sin will burn all the good deeds. Shaitan, he is the most powerful. Was there anyone more than him who did ibadah? He was the ustad of the angel, Shaitan. Where did all his worship go? Where did all his prostrations go? Where did his knowledge, his ilm go? All of it evaporated like thin air. Rather, Allah expelled him, became wretched, cursed. Where will all our knowledge go? More we need to work hard, more we need to emphasize on the sins. Then don't emphasize on deeds. Okay, fine, you've done tasbih today, zikr, Quran, some 10 juz, 12 juz, nafil salah, and somebody will have kept fast. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, no doubt, good. But one question I ask you, one question. That have we in 1 second today, have I looked towards my sins? Have I thought about my sins? Have I tried to leave my sins? Is this honest truth today? Do you agree with me? What I'm saying? Are we on the same level? The way I'm thinking? Has any one of us thought about sins? And this is the sign of weakness. The Kamil complete Shaykh, the sign of the Kamil Shaykh, he doesn't give wazifas, recitations, prayers. He works hard on leaving the sins. No walaya will you be given, chillas, working hard, going to isolation, nawafil, or nothing. Once I requested Hazrat Sahib, Hazrat, can I keep nafal fast? Hazrat Sahib smiled, my Shaykh replied to me, said, don't keep the fast, try to leave the sins, subhanallah. Subhanallah. Why? Because nafal fast, I want to become the fasting person and I'll think I'm pious and I'm a wali Allah, I'm working hard. Look how the nafs, the desires of a man, and the shaykh, he stamped on that nafs. He said, leave the sins, you have no need for sins, leave the sins. You have no need for the fast, leave the sins, he said. Subhanallah. Rahmatullah. The sign of the Kamil Shaykh. Look at the books of history. All of the Kamil Shaykhs who have passed in history, they work harder on the benefit of leaving sins. They don't emphasize on thawab, nafal, optional. They leave this, the reason we've been sent to the world. Allah has sent us to this world, not for ibadah. Listen to this point. Subhanallah. Not for sujood. Big angels are sat in the heavens to do sajda, prostration, dhikr. Allah saw this. Allah said, I want to see the game being played out in the world. I will give the sin, the punishments to the disobedient people. And I'll send you to the world and I want to see how do you come back saved from the sins. Allahu Akbar. This is the objective of life. The pious predecessors have stated, all life long don't pray tahajjud. All life long don't pray nawafil. All life long don't do long recitations. Don't become hafiz. Don't become alim. Nothing. All life long, if you can't do this, don't do nothing. But 5 times a day, pray salah. The faraid Allah has given to you, observe them. Observe the faraid. And the rest of your life, spend, work hard in leaving the sins. Every door of Jannat al-Firdaus will open for you. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. This is the fact of life. Now, how do we leave the sin of belittling others, degrading others, looking down on others? Now, for example, you get a status or a rank. Suddenly you need to think that... Now, why do I think this person's less than me? The example I've given to you, of Isa alayhi salam, that companion, he looked down at the other person, the thief. Oh, how should I meet this person? How should I look at this person? How should I introduce myself to this person? For example, Rasulullah's ummati we are, in his nation, have we ever seen in his court, did he ever differentiate from amongst the people, that this person's this person's this, this and this, and I'll differentiate? No. Subhanallah, you can see if someone's there or here or there. Rather, even the nomads, from the villages, the deserts, they'd come and directly they would cross through the Sahaba and speak and ask a question. The Sahaba Kram said that we would wait because they had great respect. And they said that we would wait for somebody, a Buddhu, he'd come and question so that we could get that direct answer from Rasulullah. Because we didn't have the audacity to ask that direct question. Say subhanallah. This should be the greater alim the person is, he should become a jahil in front of the people. Subhanallah. This is the sign. The more knowledge and ilm you have, the greater the alim you are, you should become a jahil in front of people. I don't know nothing. I have no knowledge. Then so close people will come to you to get your fares and your benefits. And in your generation, the fares will spread. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So the first point is this, that when you have a skill or quality, you always think that, what am I? I'm nothing. Whatever Allah you've given to me, ilm, knowledge, status, rank, quality, all of this, Allah you have given to me, I've not attained anything. I've not acquired anything. Just like for example, if I give you a good jacket here, wear it for 5 minutes. So in your heart it will keep on knocking, this is not my jacket. Someone will say, you look so beautiful, handsome, nice. Yes, I'm looking, but you know it's not your jacket. You'll have a hesitation in your heart to accept that feedback, that it's not my jacket, it's his jacket. You'll say that, won't you? When someone says, oh, that jockey looks nice on you. For example, if I give you a good ring or something to wear, and someone says, oh, you look so good. You say, oh, it's not mine, actually, it's someone else's. You look ajeeban when somebody's admiring you. So Allah's given you a status quality. Who's given this? Who's given this to you? This quality, this rank, this. You say, no, Allah's given this to me. It's not mine. It's not mine. Say subhanAllah. Do you understand the point? Do you understand the example? Just like that jacket, nice jacket, blazer, you don't feel good because it's someone else's. Same way when you have a rank, a status, a skill, a quality. It's temporary. Whenever Allah wants to take it from me, He'll give it and He'll take it. It's not mine. It's not my Quran. Allah's given me this Quran, this knowledge, this skill. If it's not yours, then why are you proud? And why do you have kibbut? And why do you degrade others and look down on others? Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Do you understand this? Which I don't know if you're understanding my examples. I don't know how to explain things in a good way. But do you understand what I'm saying? SubhanAllah. I'm sorry if I can't explain it. I can't speak very well. I don't have that skill. I'm jahil. I don't know how to explain. It's hard for me to explain. But I try it so you understand what I'm saying. If you understand, that's good. It's very good. Alhamdulillah. So the example, blazer, someone gives you a ring, some good clothes, you wear it, people admire you, but you know it's not yours, you feel embarrassed. Quran, Qirat, recitation, skill or quality, level in the world, but we think we have achieved that. Allah can take it back. If it's not yours, then why do you degrade and look down at others with pomp and glory? No, don't do that. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Second point. So always first say, it's not mine, Allah's given it. And where has this danger of pride come from? Grab that. Where does that all come from when you feel others are lower than you? It's from the heart. So when this feeling others are lower than you comes from your heart, then the first action you should do is wash the heart. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Purify the heart. Purify that from your shirt, kameez, there's stench, smell. What will you do? You'll take it off and wash the shirt, won't you? So when you wash the shirt, even if you don't put perfume on it, but the smell won't come from your shirt, will it? You'll be safe from the smell. So first action is that don't put the perfume and fragrance, then it will become a different. The sweat will start to smell as well, and a new scent will come out. So what should you do when there's stench and smell coming from your clothes, put it into the washing machine, wash it, clean it, then it's clean, then you won't need this perfume and the fragrance. Hey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then your heart, when the dirty sins come, when you feel better than others, look down at others, first wash the heart. Purify the heart. No need to do any ibadah. In your dirty heart, no ibadah will go into your heart. First, what you need to do is wash the heart. Allah, how shall I wash the heart? Allah says, shall I wash it with water, mineral water, zamzam water? No water of the world will wash your heart. How will the heart be washed? Fadhkurullaha kathira lalakum tuflihoon. SubhanAllah. To wash the heart, there's only one water. What water is that? The dhikr of Allah. Whenever you feel better than others, you degrade others, look at others, take the dhikr of Allah, take the tasbih and do the dhikr of Allah. Take the tasbih and do the. So two actions, and the foundation, the root cause of degrading others will come out with the fadl of Allah. Will you do this? May Allah Ta'ala give me and you all the tawfiq. So we try hard. I tried to correct myself, to present this explanation. Inshallah, you'll have understood. So inshallah, me and you, we will try hard on this. Don't degrade others, look down on others, belittle, think others are lower than you. Allah immediately will take away all your skills and qualities. Consider you're worse than others, lower than others. He is better than me. He doesn't have this. Okay. SubhanAllah, mashallah, I have got this, Allah has given this to me, and Allah will ask me of this, so I should belittle myself, humble myself. It's not mine, it's Allah's, I need to belittle myself. Allah has given this to me temporarily. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal on this. Ameen. Recite the Rushdie.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahman, as-salatu wa-salamu ala sayyidi al-Mursaleen, shafi'i al-Mursaleen, ta'ha wa yaseen al-Habib al-Ameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه وأمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وزلنا حصلنا وجدنا خطونا عمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمتم وأخرتم وأسررتم وأعلنتم وصرفتم تعلم به أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل کرم سے میرے مولا ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما یا اللہ ہماری اس مجلس کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ذکر کے صدقے سے ہمارے تمام باطنی گناہوں کو پاک فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے تمام باطنی گناہوں سے ہمیں پاک فرما دے یا اللہ تمام باطنی گناہوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ ہر گناہ سے ہماری حفاظت فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمیں نیک عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما میرے مولا جن بیماروں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا میرے مولا ان کو شفا کامل عاجز نصیب فرما ایک خاتون بہت سخت بیمار ہے اس نے آپ سے التجا کی ہے چھوٹے بچے ہیں اس کے اس کی یہ دعا فرما اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو صحت کامل عاجز نصیب فرمائے یا اللہ اس کی پریشانی کو دور فرمائے یا اللہ اس کو صحت عطا فرما Ya Allah usko sehat ata farma, Ya Allah usko sehat ata farma. Aur deegar jitne bimar hain, mareez hain, mere maula hum sabko shifa naseeb farma. Ya Allah jo pareshan hal hain unki pareshani ko dur farma. Ya Allah jo kisi musibat mein giraftar hain unki musibaton ko dur farma. Ae mere maula hamari is duniya ko bhi aasan farma de, aakhirat ko bhi aasan farma de, maut ke waqt ko bhi aasan farma de. اے میرے مولا اچھا عمال کرنے کے ہمیں توفیق نصیب فرما نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے اطاعت نصیب فرما اتباع نصیب فرما آپ کی پیاری پیاری سنتوں سے ہمیں عشق نصیب فرما یا اللہ اپنے فضل کرم سے اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ ان کے درجات بلند فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و علیہ صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد لله رب العالمين.